Are you ready to cheat on your wife? No, I'm not talking about that kind of cheating. I'm talking about gaining an unfair advantage on how to understand your wife better, love her deeper, avoid unnecessary arguments, and even have more sex with her. That's right. Based on the success of our Marriage Secrets for Men boot camps, we're finally sharing the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men with the public. This is the quick reference must-have go-to guide for husbands and wannabe husbands that can help stack the odds in your favor. The Bible tells us to live with our wives in an understanding way. Well, the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men is your shortcut to doing that. So you'll learn 4 questions you can ask your wife in every argument to avoid future arguments. You'll learn the 45 questions you can ask her to learn and master her heart. 50 ways to love your wife better. 6 things you can say to her to manage her response before you damage her emotions. 10 things you can do right now that will lead to more sex. 8 ways to get her to stop ignoring you. Even 49 ways to have more meaningful conversations with your wife, and much, much more. See, this is the manual every divorced man wishes he had before he got married. Well, at least I did. And I'm so God confident that the Marriage Cheat Sheet will become one of the most valuable referred to resources in your marriage library, that if you don't think so, just send it back for a full refund. Trust me, next to our Marriage Secrets for Men bootcamp, this will be the 2nd best investment you will ever make in your marriage. Now, to get your copy of the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men on sale for a limited time only, just go to realmenconnect.com and click on the store button. That's realmenconnect.com. Hello, mighty men of God. Joe Martin here, man builder, award-winning speaker, author, and Tanya's husband and Kendall and Faith's dad. Welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. Every Wednesday, we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Today is the Real Men Check-In. The Real Men Check-In is just a quick way to help you start your week on the right foot in the right way. Every Monday, I share personal insights, encouragement, and support that will move you beyond church to real change. I keep it short, I make it fun, and then I'm done. So let's get started. Real men rather be righteous than to be right. Let me say that again. I say real men rather be righteous than to be right. Now, I must make a confession. I love being right. And probably the only thing I like more than being right is proving that I'm right. And I'm really good at it. Now, while most men struggle expressing themselves, you know, to say what they want to say and how they want to say it, this isn't a struggle for me. In fact, it's one of my biggest strengths. That's the ability to persuasively make my point. Now, my undergrad and master's degrees are both in communication, and I've worked as a communication director for the Florida Governor's Office, also as a communications professor at 2 universities, and as a paid columnist for several publications, as well as a full-time paid professional speaker. Now, I'm not saying all this to brag or to boast, just to make another confession. See, sometimes our God-given strengths can also be our greatest weaknesses. Now, if you don't believe me, just ask Samson. Now, my gift to gab, whether it's verbal or in writing, is my greatest strength, but it sometimes proves to be my greatest weakness. Because when it comes to my closest relationships, I often use my God-given superpowers for evil, not for good. Now, I'm just being honest. Now, what I mean is that I love being right and I love proving that I'm right. Well, and you may say, well, Joe, what's wrong with that? Well, the truth of the matter is, proving you're right may be great in a court of law, but in close relationships with other people that you love, not so much. See, the problem is when you become good at talking like I am, that means you often become bad at listening. And in Proverbs 18:13, it says that he who gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and his shame. And James tells us in chapter 1, verse 19, be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger. Now, in other words, if you want to weaken or destroy a relationship quicker than a politician can change his mind, then always try to be right. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being right. But always being right or proving your point isn't always the best route to spiritual maturity. Now, trust me, after a failed 16-year marriage and many broken relationships, I've had to learn this lesson the hard way. Now, this week on the Real Men Check-In, I want you to learn how to do relationships the way Jesus did, not the way I used to do it in the past. Now, in full disclosure, I must confess that I still struggle with this even today, but not nearly as much as I used to in the past. Kind of just chalk it up to spiritual maturity and old age. Now, I know what you may be thinking right about now, but Jesus was always right, and he was never wrong. And guess what? You're absolutely right. But Jesus always used the truth to build relationships, not as a weapon to destroy relationships. And even when Jesus spoke hard truth, especially those in the religious establishment, he never did it with malice or even to pop his collar to say, "Didn't I tell you? I wish you'd listen to me." But he did just the opposite. He always did it to the glory of the Father. And I think that's the lesson he wants us to glean from his communication and his relationship with other people. Now, I often joke that Jesus spoke to comfort the afflicted, but he also afflicted the comfortable. But Jesus always did it in love. So let me share with you three things I believe Jesus wants us to value more than us just being right or to argue our rights in the debate. And as I share them with you, I want you to consider this in the context of the most important relationships in your life right now. I'm talking about with your wife or your girlfriend, your children, your parents, your siblings, or even your closest friends. I want you to consider this the next time you're tempted to prove, make, or defend your point of view with them. Instead of pursuing being right and pursuing your rights in opposition to others, I believe God wants us to do the following. One, he wants us to pursue his righteousness instead. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." Now, I don't know about you, but all things seem to be all-inclusive of what we desire. That includes making our point and speaking God's truth. Now, as I look back over failed relationships, I now ask myself after a heated exchange or debate with another person, "God, were you pleased with how I handled that? God, did I make you smile after I spoke that truth? Did I grieve your spirit?" Now, if the answer is yes, then I smile too. If the Holy Spirit tells me, "No, Joe, you didn't handle it the way I wanted you to handle that," and "Joe, it didn't make me smile," and "Joe, yes, you grieved my spirit," then that means I must go back and apologize for not speaking the truth in love and also for misrepresenting the Father to that person. Now, I recently had to do this with my 15-year-old daughter just a few weeks ago after we had a very heated argument. Now, two, instead of pursuing being right and proving our rights in opposition to others, God wants us to preserve the relationship with the other person. When God revealed to me that what I said to my daughter was the truth, but it grieved his spirit, it was because I valued being right over being in right relationship with my daughter. Now, yes, I walked away from that conversation feeling proud of how I made my point and in essence, proving to her that I'm smarter and a lot wiser than she is. But God had to remind me that in the process, I damaged the relationship. Yes, my daughter was wrong, but I also failed to see that my daughter was also wounded. And that's the problem. In always proving that we're right, we fail to minister to the wounded. So I had to go back to my daughter and to make amends and preserve the relationship. I had a guest on my show, a theologian by the name of Kenneth Ortiz, who said that as mature believers of Christ, when we show up at the scene of an accident, or in this case, an argument, we need to arrive as first responder EMTs, looking to offer assistance and life support to the wounded, not as a police officer looking for who we can arrest and put in the handcuffs. See, during my argument with my daughter, I arrested her first before I checked for her vital signs. See, in any relationship, you have to connect before you correct. And finally, instead of pursuing being right and defending our rights in opposition to others, God wants us to remember our responsibility in the relationship. See, going back to the situation with my daughter, God wanted me to see that my argument with my teenage daughter was so much bigger than me just being right or proving my point and defending my point of view. Not only was it about pursuing his righteousness, preserving the relationship, but he also wanted me to remember my role and responsibility as the spiritual head of my home. Whenever I respond to my daughter or my wife or even my son as the spiritual head, I'm modeling Christ and the Godhead to them. I'm subconsciously sending them all a message that this is how God treats us and responds to us when we're wrong or when we've done wrong. Ouch. No, I'm not God, but God chose me to represent him in my home. And he's holding me accountable in how I lead them and how I reflect his son to them. See, this isn't about my rights or being right. It's about my responsibility. It's about my relationship with my family. It's about pursuing his righteousness. And Jesus gave us the perfect example of this at the cross. Now think about it. Was there any bigger conflict than the cross? See, Jesus was right, but he also chose to pursue God's righteousness instead. Jesus had rights, but he was also more concerned about restoring our relationship with the Father. And Jesus could have demanded his rights, but he denied himself instead because he remembered his role and his responsibility and the purpose of why he was sent. Maybe that's why we're reminded as husbands in Ephesians 5:25 that husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave up himself for her. See, it's not about being right or proving we're right or even demanding our rights. It's about Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, and his righteousness. Because real men rather be righteous then be right. So that's the Real Man Check-In for this week. I hope that it blessed you. And if you found it helpful, please share this episode with men who you may be mentoring or discipling. And make sure to check out our regular weekly interviews on Wednesdays. And to make sure you don't miss an episode, please visit our website at realmenconnect.com and join our growing community of real men. We also have a couple of free gifts waiting just for you. And you know I love reading and sharing on podcast reviews with our listeners. And here's another review I want to read to you. And this one comes from Blue Info One. That's his ID name. And Blue Info One writes, "Sometimes you just don't have time to listen to an entire sermon. I really wanted a way to learn more about God and be able to do it in a short period of time. This podcast does just that. The host is educated and you can tell he cares about his listeners and their spiritual well-being. My favorite day to listen to is Monday for sure, but he also does a lot of interesting interviews throughout the week. Overall, this is the best podcast for a Christian man I've been able to find." Thank you, Blue Info One, for sharing that great review for us. Guys, I really appreciate your reviews. And who knows, I told you, I picked these at random, so I may end up reading yours on the air. So please, please, please take about 30 seconds to go over iTunes and leave a podcast review for us. And you know that Real Men Connect is a listener-supported podcast, and we're now the number one radio podcast for iTunes for Christian men. So if this podcast has blessed you in any way and you'd like to help us continue to bless and transform the lives of even more husbands, fathers, sons, and leaders, please prayerfully consider financially supporting this ministry. Just go to realmenconnect.com and click on the donate button. May God bless your faithful giving. And I can't say this enough. Thank you for listening, because without you, there would be no Real Men Connect. So keep on downloading, subscribing, reviewing, and sharing us with the world. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin with realmenconnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man God called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in God's grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.